So welcome back again to Come and See Inspirations. My name is John Keeley, and I'm continuing on with a series of interviews with priests who have agreed to share their vocation journey with me. And today it's a pleasure for me to welcome Father Sean Harmon, who is a priest of the Limerick Diocese. Father Sean, you're welcome. How are you?
I'm good, John. Thank you. Very well.
Thanks a lot indeed for joining me, Father Sean. So maybe before we start, as we usually do, can you fill us out a bit, maybe on your family background, school, faith experience, and that sort of stuff?
Okay, so thank you, John. Thanks. And a little word of welcome to all those who might listen in to the podcast in time to come.
Great.
So I'm from Patrickswell in County Limerick. My childhood was spent in a place called Linwood Park in the city. My parents lived there first. And then in the late 70s, then we moved to Patrickswell. So I have two sisters and two brothers. And my primary school education was in Presentation Primary School and also in CBS Primary. And then later then Patrickswell Primary School and then Sexton Street CBS then. And I went to Maynooth then after my Leaving Cert in 1985. And so that's my
background. So the faith experience within the family, was it a strong one? Was it weekly mass, daily mass for your parents and so on and so forth? Or
John, my parents, John, would been very faith was important to them, Sunday mass was very important, and then every summer, then most weekends and throughout the summer, we spent a lot of time with my grandparents in a place called Duwar and a place called Ardfert in Kerry. So I remember with my grandparents, was going to mass with them a lot. And of course, in those times, I remember in Duwar in particular, the men used to stand outside the church before mass, and it was a real social aspect to it. I remember that, all the men would stand across the road from the church before mass having a chat. And then they would come in for the commitment for mass. But I remember with great affection going my grandparents to mass, and the whole social aspect then of meeting people before mass and after mass. So it has very warm memories for me, John, both my childhood, my teenage years, and my faith journey with my parents and my grandparents.
And so did you say that you went to school around in the early 1980s, did you say?
Yes, Sean.
Yeah? Yes. At that particular time, was faith still as strong in the community as it was maybe back in your parents' time or your grandparents' time? Or did it begin to maybe have a little bit of a reduction in people attending mass?
So, John, faith was very strong then, because I remember, as a young boy in Patrickswell, you'd meet all your friends at mass, meet all your neighbours at mass. You could look forward to meeting your neighbours at mass and your school friends at mass.
Okay.
So mass, in my time going to school, throughout my teens, was a very strong social element of contact with your neighbour. And I noticed that when I got ordained, when I got ordained in 91, It was still that way.
Okay.
I remember, yeah.
And so when you were going through your secondary education, you're probably thinking about what you might do later on in life. Did you have any ideas of in terms of a career or what?
I did. I was very interested in a career. I was very interested in a number of things. But I remember from my childhood, my mother had a number of uncles, priests, and aunts, nuns.
Okay.
And we knew them well. And one of them has come home. One of them was a priest in California, and another was a nun in Aberfeil, and many others too.
Okay.
But they were very kind people. And I remember they had a huge impression on me and on my own sister and brothers too. the kindness they always showed to us. And I remember too, Father Jim, my mother's uncle, he's come home to Dubois every summer, and he's loved going to the Kerry football matches, and invariably he'd bring me and others with him, don't me and others with him. And
Great.
so that was that always stayed with me. So John, through my school by days in Sexton Street CBS, I was very interested in it, but I never mentioned any of my friends because I didn't really say it to them at all, like. And but it was always there in my mind.
And so, what was the first step you made on that journey of finding out all?
So the first journey was, at that time there was a magazine in school regarding economics and business studies. And in that magazine, at the back of the magazine, different orders of clergy used to advertise, to maybe talk about their seeking vocations. And I remember that's when I first, John, I remember filling in them one day. And I remember then in school, then one day, Brother Power, the school principal, he came into the class to see me. I was in my leaving cert year at that stage, and he came in to see me because one of the orders had written back maybe to meet to him. And I remember he Brother Power bringing me and one of the other boys in the class, maybe who always was interested, over to the monastery for a cup of tea and a chat. Like, I remember that going on.
Find out what's this all about.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. I mean, it was nice. It was grand.
And so the idea was then that you'd written off to these orders, they came back to contact the principal of the school, and then what happened?
So, John, then you see, the Legionaries of Christ, they contacted me as well, and they brought me to Dublin with them as a student for a little while for the summer of 85. But I was interested in working in the missions, and then I realized that Limerick too had a missionary outreach. So in September of 85, I remember I met Father Frawley, the parish priest in Patrick's Well, and then he rang, I suppose, Father Fleming, who was the diocesan secretary at that time, and Micheál Liston, and through them then I met Bishop Newman in September of 1985.
Would this have been directly after your leaving cert then, so
Yes, John, yeah, after my leaving cert.
And just as a matter of interest, did you ever consider any other career
Oh, I
at
did.
all?
Very much so, I
Like
did. On teaching, I was very interested in teaching. Yeah, very interested in that. Very interested in that. But I was anxious to give the priesthood a go, just to
Have you
give
give
them
it a
a
go anyway?
go. That's it.
So the idea is, so they arranged for you to maybe to meet the vocation director, was it? And then the bishop, and then,
So
yeah.
I remember I met Father the Bishop John Fleming. He was the bishop secretary at the time. I remember meeting him. So I met him, and then I met Bishop Newman with Father Micheál Liston, Canon
Oh,
Micheál Liston.
Father Michal is a lovely fellow, a lovely
That's
man. Yeah,
correct. Yeah,
supportive,
he
yeah.
is. He is.
And so you met those, and then.
So I met them, and Bishop Newman was saying to me, he said, Sean, he said, if you are interested in the mission, he said, remember, he said, we have a mission to Nigeria at that time, to Father Tom Crawford and Father Mirisch and others. And so we had that chat together, and we'd love a chat together. So that's September. Then late September of 1985, I remember it was the All-Ireland football final day. Kerry won the final. That I remember it was All-Ireland final day 1985, when my mother and father drove me up to Maynooth to start for a spiritual week. Was always a spiritual week first, and to begin in Maynooth.
Tell me just before that now, Sean, when you made up your mind to give it a go, you told your parents. What sort of reaction did you get from your parents?
Oh, John, they're very supportive. Like they're very supportive, and we chatted it through. They're very supportive, and they like I suppose the big thing is, John, they would be happy, you know, to be
Yes,
happy
yeah.
with the choice you made. So, like, John, they're very supportive. They're
And
very
tell me,
supportive.
your brothers and your sisters and your friends, what sort of reaction did you get?
So, John, like, I suppose my friends, John, were quite surprised because I never mentioned it during my school
Okay,
days with
yeah.
them. I was playing hurling with Patrick Swell, and I remember my friends and the team and the different teams I played with. They were quite surprised as well, but, you know, I suppose it was there
The,
was many others doing it
there were
like
there
that.
weren't too many other people,
That's it,
yeah.
John. Yeah, all that kind. Yeah, so I remember with my hurling colleagues with Patrick Swell. I remember, like, they I suppose they were kind of a bit taken aback as well, you
Let's
know.
see. Let's see how it goes, type of thing.
Yeah,
Okay, yeah, that's very
that's
good.
it.
But generally, you're okay. You're happy enough to sort of give it a week. So the idea was what, to give it a week's, is it a week or a month or whatever,
So,
trial?
John, you started in with the spiritual week at the start, and and then, like, John, John, it was the spiritual week was part of your beginning, really, as such. It was part
Yes.
of the beginning. So, spiritual week, and then we started then a week later then with our formal lectures and the formal process.
This was in September 1985.
Yes.
Just a matter of interest, how many other colleagues would have joined the same year as you?
So, John, like, with time, memory isn't as clear as it used to be.
Yeah, ish, roughly.
Yes. So, in my class, minute, there was over 90 of us.
Wow.
And from Limerick, there must have been about 8 or 9 of us as well. There was a good number from Limerick with me. There was
Okay.
only 7.
Yeah. But just to put all of that in context, today, John in Maynooth, there certainly wouldn't be 90.
No, John, unfortunately, no.
There might be a quarter, there might be even less than maybe a
Yes,
quarter,
yes,
whatever. Just to put
yes,
things in context. But anyway,
yes.
thanks be to God. There was 90 of you guys got off at the start of a journey from different parts of Ireland. So obviously, people like you had the idea, weren't too sure, we're going to give this a go, give it the best go you could. And I'm sure you met lots of friends there. You were able to chat with different guys from different parts of the country and different experiences, which again would have probably helped your own faith and faith journey.
Oh yes, John, I suppose part of it too, John, is like we were all just, say, after leaving school, the majority of us, not all, some of my class had worked for a number of years
Okay.
and they're older. But by and large, John, we were all about 18. So I suppose we grew up together, John, in many respects. We all kind of
Yes.
we grew up together, like we were together for 6 and 7 years, and we'd actually become very good friends. And then, John and Manute, then there was many things, many activities that we took part in, different people took part in different things.
Okay.
So I was very involved in with the hurling club and played a lot of soccer as well. So you'd make John very
Great.
good lifelong friends through that, and your class as well. We journeyed together through all that.
So overall, how did you find seminary life, formation, discernment? I'm sure that was all part of it, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah, so John, I was there for 6 years, and you make great friends, John. It isn't always easy because you're away from home for 3, 4 months at a time, you know, and like there can be an aspect too of kind of maybe loneliness a little bit, you know, you're away
Okay,
from
yeah.
all your family and familiar things, you know, and then you're doing a course, say, in philosophy and then maybe theology, and like. With courses like that, John, like, say, I suppose I was more used to in school doing different kinds of
Yes.
subjects. So that took a while to kind of get used to, John, philosophy,
Okay,
you know,
yeah.
that kind of thing, and then later theology, and took a while to get used to. So we'd lecture, John, from Monday to Friday. Weekends then were freer. So, John, I enjoyed my seminary days. Like, they wouldn't always have been the easiest, John, because, you know, like, I suppose you're a young person, you know, like
Yep.
you're kind of you're learning to be a young man as well, all
Yes,
those things,
yeah.
and then you're asking yourself, like, is this the life for me? Like, you know, is this the life that God's called me to? So all those questions are part of the journey through those years.
And you would have somebody to accompany you, maybe a priest or maybe a Jude of
So
some.
yes, John, yeah, we had a spiritual
Spiritual
director.
director, yeah.
Yeah, there was Vincentian priests in the college, and that was their role as spiritual directors. So you go to a spiritual director, John, maybe every 3 weeks, and it was a great thing because you could just talk to them about your one's life, and you could
Yes.
just would chat together, and they would listen, John, and they would listen to you, and they'd help you to process your thoughts, you know.
And tell me, what was there a point within that seminary journey when you said, "Yeah, I want to continue on with this now. I want to give it a go right to the end."
I suppose, John, that is true. Yes, I suppose in my fourth year, I spent a lot of time in London. Most summers working in London, I was working as a healthcare assistant, and I was very interested in it. And I was saying to myself, "Will I leave Maynooth now and continue in this field?" It was my fourth. It was into my second divine year, and I remember ask myself that question very much so, because I realized that when I returned that September, diaconate was coming down the was coming
Okay.
in the following Easter. So it was then, John, yes, it was in at that time then, when I was asked myself, will I go to the nursing side, or will I continue on Maynooth? And I was very, John, interested in the nursing part, but I said I'll go back to Maynooth. And I said, I'll give it the last go. And so, John, thankfully, it didn't.
Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God for that. And so after that, then you had what, 2 more years, 2.5 more years,
John,
which included diaconate, was it you say? Yeah.
yes, 2 years, then 2 more years, then I became a deacon in, say, in my fifth year at Maynooth. I became a deacon that Easter, and then that was Easter 1990,
Okay.
and then I was ordained to the priesthood then on the 9th of June 1991 at St. John's Cathedral.
Thanks be to God for that. And so, I mean, obviously that particular day holds many memories for you, that particular day, the 9th of June 1991.
Oh, it does, John, many memories. My memory now might be as clear as it was, but I think that day Ireland were playing the World Cup against Egypt. And they drew that match with Jack Charlton, all the little things.
Yeah.
And of course, John, was great. My father's parents were there. My grandparents, my mother's side had died, but they were there. And yes, John, it was lovely, wonderful memories. Wonderful memories.
And the ordaining bishop that particular day?
Was Bishop Jeremiah Newman.
Oh, yes, okay. That was 1991.
That was
And of
it.
course, then, your first mass.
John, my first mass then was in Patrick's Well, and my memory of that is, John, is that my sermon was very brief. I suppose starting off, I remember some of my friends still tease me about it, that they were sitting down, and no, they were no longer sitting down, then they were standing up again.
Yeah.
It was very short, but I must say, John, at home and Patrick's Well, and my parents too, my siblings, they all were great, gave great help in preparing everything, and a lot of people too at home and Patrick's Well were very helpful and very supportive, and when I think back of it, I'm very grateful to them and to my family as well for all their help around that time.
And as we are recording this in 2024, that's 33 years ago. 33 years ordained a priest this year.
Yes.
Thanks be to God for that. So you've had a few assignments as a priest. And can you remember what your first assignment was?
So, John, in the summer of 1991, I was sent to Galway. Limerick had too many priests then,
Okay.
so I was Bishop Eamon Casey was the Bishop of Galway. So I was sent to Renmore, and my colleague Father Robert Coffey was sent to Salt Hill in August of 1991. So I still remember arriving in Oare Moor. That lovely place, and Renmore then was the next part. It was just in further in towards the city, and I started there in 1991, So I spent two very happy years there. And while I was there then, there's two hurling clubs there, Castlegar and Lean Meadows. And they both contacted me and invited me to join them. So I was living with Father Paddy Gantley. He was a retired priest working there in Galway Hospital. I was sharing the house with him. So I joined a club called Lean Meadows, and they were very good with me as well then for the 2 years I was there. I played on the senior team when I was there with them. So that was very helpful, John, meeting people my own age and all that. And it was very nice. And they was collecting me for matches and then go we was training Loughton by Loughton and Pier Stadium. So that was all very helpful. They
Great.
set me in.
Great to have that gift to have been able to hurl in and use that to be able to meet other people.
Yes, John, of
Great.
course. Yes, connect with people.
So what you said, go away for 2 years, was it, Father? And then
So I was there for 2 years, and then I was transferred then to Newcastle West.
Aha.
I was there with Monsignor Liam Boyle and Father Ed Irwin, and 3 very happy years there as well. And I remember Newcastle West. It was this lovely place to be, and I've maintained some great friends there because I go on a pilgrimage most Easters, most nearly every Easter with a group from West Limerick and in particular from Newcastle West, and we go to Lourdes or Fatima, and I go with them most years.
Lovely, lovely, lovely. And so Newcastle West, after Newcastle West, then, Father?
So, John, while I was in Newcastle West, I was to call through schools a lot, SMI and Desmond
Oh,
College
yeah.
and then the primary school. So Bishop Donal would have heard that, and so then he in the year 1996, he asked me to go as a chaplain to St Enda's Community School in Galvone Road in Limerick City. I went there in September 1996, and I spent 4 years there, very happy years there. The principal was a very, very insightful man, and the staff were all lovely. And while I was there then for 4 years, I was teach religion as a chaplain. The students could come and see me if they were upset in any way or worried. And then I was training the students in sport like Gaelic football, hurling, and soccer. I was to do that with them as well. So I've done 4 very happy years there as well.
And so, really, you've really kept up the hurling side of things. I can see that all the time, which is great.
Oh, I did, John. Yeah, well, John, I liked sport because I found with sport it breaks down barriers with people, and so I trained the boys in soccer while I was there, and we did very well. And in Gaelic football as well, we did very well in that as well. The hurling team, we never had enough players, but we always did our best.
Well done.
Yeah.
So after St Enda's, was it, yes, St Enda.
So that after John St Enda's, then in the year 2000, I was assigned to Moaghan Lean for 6 years and 6 to 7 years, and then I was assigned to St John's Cathedral then for 7 years from 2007 to 2014. So of course both places in the city,
Yeah.
and I got on very well there as well, both places. And then in 2014, then I was sent as Dawson advisor to the primary schools, and that was very nice, visiting the schools, visiting the pupils, and chatting to them about their religious program, and meeting them and the teachers, and then meeting the teachers in the staff room for a cup of tea afterwards, and then often giving little confirmation talks or first
Lovely.
communion talks in the evening. And so that was very pleasant, our role really was to support the teachers, to acknowledge what great work they were doing, and to be of help in any way we could. So there were 2 very pleasant years there. And then I was assigned to St Mary's and the parish of St Nicholas's in 2014, no, sorry, 2016, 19, and I was there for 2.5 years, and that was a very, very nice place to be. And then I'm in the hospital since March 2019.
So you've really had a variety of roles to work out your vocation to priesthood.
Yes.
whether that be the sick, whether that be the young people, whether that be a normal parish, a variety of opportunity to be able to experience life for people who are journeying in their religion, in their faith as best they can.
Oh, true, John. Yes, absolutely true. Yes.
During all that time, you needed, Sean needed to be able to relax. How do you relax, or what sort of hobbies do you have?
So I like to go walking.
Okay.
When the weather allows it.
Like, yes.
I love going walking. I love to read.
Lovely.
And then I like to meet my friends, you know, to have a cup of tea or a cup of coffee or a chat.
Lovely,
so
lovely.
I like to meet up with people to my friends and colleagues. And so, yes, John. And I'm still very interested in sport. I love to watch Manchester United, especially when they're doing better.
Yeah.
And Limerick hurling, then, John, I'm very interested in all of that.
And of course,
too.
These days, of course.
Yeah, special years.
Special years, great memories. Do you know something that I love to ask this all the priests that I've chatted to? What do you think? What does Sean think people expect of a priest?
Oh, I suppose, John, many the people will obviously have different answers for that.
Mm.
But I feel, John, in the hospital, I can answer it for that's where at the moment. I feel, John, people like the priest, we expect the priest to be a person of God first and foremost, and to be humble, and to be helpful, that the priest, John, would be of help in any way he possibly can to them, you know, in their life journey, and always, John, to be humble and to be helpful. I think, John, for me, would be very important.
And I'd say that came through with your experience, especially within schools, you know, where young people would be prepared to knock on your door. Any chance I can come in and have a chat, Father? On whatever.
Yes, John. Early on, John, the school principal was there, Mr. O'Connor. He was very insightful. So he always said to us that if a child misbehaved, always say to them, it's your behaviour I'm correcting, not you personally. Do you know, it's your behaviour. So, John, from the word go, that was very clear in the school. Do you know, that sense of that every student was cherished and respected. And in the mornings, John, if a child came in late, like he'd say to us, remember, he said, like, there's a reason that child may have came in late. You know, there's, you know,
yeah.
Say they'd no homework done. He'd always say, like, always remember, like the reason might be beyond their control, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very compassionate. Yes. Yeah, yes.
Very good. And that's so much in need of us all, but especially a priest. What keeps Father Sean going?
So, John, I go to spiritual direction regularly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I go once a month. It's very nice. Important. John, in a priest life, it's been very important for me. So I'm very grateful to my spiritual director. I go to her once a month. And in the hospital as well, John, they actually have arranged for us supervision. You know, like it's so it's good because in that way, like if in the hospital there's something I'd like to talk about, say if I'm caught in a difficult situation, it's great that I can go and talk to that person and say, this is how I dealt with it, and have kind of to be able to process it with that person. I find it very helpful. And that for me kind of gives me great life and great direction.
Great to have that support.
Yes, yes.
What would you say to someone, Sean, who came to you who might be considering a vocation?
So I would say to them, John, that it's a gift. It's a gift. The first thing I say to them, John. Number two is I would say to them to see it in that light. It's a gift, Jude, and to, I suppose, just and then, like, John, maybe just to stay with this, even just to stay with it for a while, just to look at it very carefully as a gift. And then I would say to them not to be to be open to giving it a go, to be open to giving it a go, because every life has its challenges. Each life has its unique challenges, but every life has its challenges, has its ups and downs, and the priesthood is no different, I think. The priesthood is no different.
Lovely. And I love the idea of what you said there. It's a gift. The other question, I suppose, Sean, that I mentioned to quite a few priests is, what would you say to people who are just about these days hanging on to their faith by their fingernails?
John, I would say to them first that I can understand where they're coming from. I can, like, especially when life is difficult and life is very stressful. I can understand where they're coming from, but I would say to them, John, hang on. I would say to them to hang on and not give up on their faith, because faith is a very positive thing in one's life. And so I would say to them, hang in.
Great. Last question. Can you share a prayer with us, especially for the bearing in mind those who might be considering a vocation to the priesthood?
Yes, thank you, John. So a prayer I like very much is a prayer that my uncle gave to me many, many years ago, and it's always been very special for me. It's the prayer of John Henry Newman. And John Henry Newman, of course, visited Tervue. He was a great friend of William Maunsell. And of course, he visited Currachase. He was a great friend of Aubrey de Vere in Currachase. And coming from Patrick's Well makes it even more special. So his lovely prayer, I think, is very beautiful. He said, "May the Lord support us all the day long. The shadows lengthen, the evening comes. The busy world is hushed. The fever of life is over, and our work is done. Then his mercy may give us a safe lodging, a holy rest, and peace at the last. Amen."
Amen. Father Sean, thanks a lot indeed for sharing your journey with us. I have no doubt that somebody somewhere in the world, some young fella, or maybe some parents might just be tuning in and listen to what you've just said. I might just suggest for the young fella somewhere to listen to. And also, maybe those of you not so young, maybe people who are hanging on to their faith by the fingernails. Thanks for the encouragement. Thanks for accepting the gift that you were given
Great
as
time,
priesthood.
John. Great time.
And to go to and just to leave this, I always ask people for the piece of music. What choice of music would you like us to play, and why? Why would you pick this piece of music?
So, John, as I said earlier, I'm a Manchester United supporter.
Okay.
With that being said, like, I love the Liverpool anthem of Gerry and the Pacemakers that says, "You never walk alone." I love in particular the line that says, "When you walk with hope in your when you walk with hope in your heart, you never walk alone." And when I hear those words, I'm consoled, knowing that as I walk through life, as we all walk through life, the Lord walks that journey with us. That's the hope, the confidence and assurance that we walk this journey with Him. So I love that song, John, very much. "You never
What
walk alone."
a lovely message to leave our chat together with. Father Sean, thanks a lot indeed for sharing with us.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of a storm, there's a golden sky and the sweet silver song of a lark. Walk on.
Bye.